broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. If you're looking at our Phil TV in HD, you're looking at a Bubba Smith light beer from Miller commercial that we were rolling a couple of those during the during our commercial break. Bubba Smith has passed on, as I mentioned, as a football player. He was more a part of my generation. When I was a teenager, it was all about Bubba Smith. It was all about Joe Namath. It was all about, you know, John Brody. It was all about the Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets and the Baltimore Colts and the emergence of the Dallas Cowboys. And so this great ball player has passed on at 66. We'll talk about that and his career, not only as a football player, but also as a fairly successful actor in the Police Academy movies. However, we're going to start out with D.B. Cooper, bud.
Yeah, this story is bitching because it gets more, there's different things about it and everything.
Yeah, he knows that, man. You don't have to explain that to him. All right, but he's entitled to his opinion, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody making a big deal out. They ain't found this guy yet.
Well, let's find out. Let's find out. D.B. Cooper exclusive, okay? That's what it's called. And the only way you can say that it's an exclusive, I guess, is because Reuters has it. So I guess Reuters is, if you'll pardon the expression, blowing their own horn. And they say they've got an exclusive. Did the niece provide key evidence? Well, a woman claiming to be the niece of the mysterious skyjacker dubbed D.B. Cooper, who bailed out of a jetliner 40 years ago with $200,000 in ransom money, says she recalls her uncle plotting the sensational caper at a family gathering in 1971. Yeah, right.
You think it's bullcrap?
I don't know. Marla Wynn Cooper, age 48 of Oklahoma City, said on Wednesday that she was the person who furnished investigators new clues to a previously unknown suspect, sparking a renewed probe of a case the FBI counts as the only unsolved hijacking in U.S. aviation history. Now, in an interview with ABC News, Marla Cooper says she believes her uncle is D.B. Cooper.
And let me tell you, your boy...
That's freaking Pat Buchanan, you smartass.
My uncle L.D. was wearing a white T-shirt, and he was bloody and bruised and a mess. And I was horrified. I began to cry. I asked them what happened. They told me that they'd been in a car accident. And my other uncle, who was with L.D., said, Marla, just shut up and go get your dad. And I ran inside the house, and I was spying on them from around the back of my grandmother's house. And I heard my uncle say, we did it. Our money problems are over. We've hijacked an airplane. They told my dad they wanted him to help them go back into the woods and find the money.
Oh, this is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard in my life.
Why do you say that?
Because nothing adds, we did it, we hijacked, nothing adds up. Now, this is the memory of a little girl, okay?
Well, yeah, but why do you say it's a load of crap?
First of all, let's just say she remembers everything right. We did it, our money problems are over, but you got to help me go back into the woods to find the money. All right, well, what does that mean? That's number one. And number two, LD, huh? Well, isn't that interesting? The guy's got initials, and this guy is DB. So, and the biggest thing is this. She says she's the one that talked to the FBI. Anybody from the FBI acknowledging that that's the woman?
Well, yeah, but they acknowledged the guitar strap.
I don't care if they acknowledged the guitar strap. Did you hear what I asked?
What?
Does anybody from the FBI acknowledge that this is the woman that they talked to, or this is the person that they talked to?
I don't know. I don't think so.
All right. So this is some person who says, oh, yeah, I'm the one they talk to. And my uncle LD, you know, I don't buy it. And I've been wrong before, but I just don't buy it.
Well, why do you say you don't buy it, man? This is a possibility to have it solved. And you're bumming everybody out.
I don't care if I'm bumming everybody out. I'd rather tell the truth or at least give my honest appraisal of something than just jump on a bandwagon like you, bud. And
I'm not jumping on no bandwagon.
Yeah, you are. You go, ooh, wow, look, man, I just found somebody. Ooh.
You got it all, man. No, I'm not. I'm just saying it. What she says makes sense.
There's nothing she says that makes sense. Are you nuts? There's nothing she says. First of all, the woman's 48. That means that 38, she would have been 8 years old in 1971, 9 years old at the outside. All right, that's fine. I'm not saying that you can't remember things when you're 8 or 9 years old. But it's very interesting, the things she heard. She heard just enough for it to sound like, wow, you know, all of our money problems are over. But you got to go back into the, it's almost like someone saying, all of our money problems, oh, wait, I forgot. The story says that they lost the money in the forest. Well, we got to go back into the forest. Well, how do you know your money problems are over when you lost all the damn money? I would have been pissed off. I wouldn't have been talking about how our money problems are over. I would have said, if I said anything to anybody, you know, this guy let a little girl in on this. This guy let in at least two other relatives in on this. Talking about how our money problems are over and we got to go back. So there's three people at least that within hours of this thing, he has opened his big fat mouth to and everyone knows. Okay, now here's a question for you. This little 8-year-old girl, she's had this information her whole life.
Yeah, but if she's a little girl, she's not going to go to nobody. She don't know nothing about it.
Wait. Hold the phone here for a minute there, Smarty. She gets older and becomes an 18-year-old girl. Then she's a 28-year-old girl. Then she's a 38-year-old girl. Now she's a 48-year-old girl. And all of a sudden, she had an uncle named LD who came out of the woods, and he was beaten up, and he was battered, and he was this, and he was that. And he said, we got to go back and get the money, but our money problems are over just as soon as we find the money. And, oh, yeah, sure.
Man, you're too cynical, man. I mean, there are a lot of ways that you could figure this one out.
There's a lot of ways it could be figured out, Robert. I'm not saying that. But this is too pat. I don't like it when I can tell if there's one thing I can smell, it's somebody who's full of crap. All right? I'm not saying that this lady is lying. I'm saying there's stuff that's not adding up. This sounds like something right out of the... let me give you an example. You remember when that anthrax thing was going around?
Yeah, but when Bin Laden done it, or what they thought was...
It wasn't Bin Laden, and I knew it wasn't Bin Laden. From the very first day that they found that anthrax, I knew it wasn't Bin Laden.
Why?
Because Bin Laden doesn't know enough about American culture to send it to Tom Daschle in the National Enquirer. Osama Bin Laden wasn't going to be sending no anthrax to the Enquirer. And if anybody was thinking straight, which they weren't, they would have known that if anything, it was domestic. Because only an American knows the significance of a target like Tom Brokaw, Tom Daschle, and the National Enquirer. Only an American understands the significance of those targets. Not a foreigner, and damn sure not a guy in Al-Qaeda. Now we come to this present moment here with D.B. Cooper and his so-called niece. Now, the FBI hasn't confirmed this was the woman. Maybe it was. She says that, we can listen to it again if you want to, but she said that she heard these guys come, and she went around the edge of the barn, and she was eavesdropping. Uh-huh. And it just so happens that at the moment she eavesdropped, she heard a guy say, that's it, our money problems are over. Oh, well, that was pretty fortuitous, wasn't it?
What's that mean?
I mean lucky, okay?
Well, what was that fortuitous?
Lucky. Oh, and she also heard as she snuck around the edge of the barn that our money problems are over, and oh yeah, you guys got to help me go back in the woods and find it, and then our money problems will be over. That sounded just completely made up. No guy is going to be all thrilled about his money problems being over when he just lost whatever the hell it was, 200 grand. He would be irate. He would be frantic. Now the woman tries to tell us, after she snuck around the barn and heard this lucky stuff, now she tries to tell us that for 40 years, none of this stuff added up in her head. None of it made any sense, even as an adult. Looking back and having these memories, none of this stuff even remotely approached something that she would mention to somebody else, maybe law enforcement, anybody. And all of a sudden, here she is talking about it to Reuters or ABC, saying that she's the woman, and so what is she trying to, blow the investigation? I don't think the FBI said to her, oh, and by the way, feel free to go out and talk to the media about it.
Well, what do you mean by, well... They would they?
No, they would not. I don't think it's very likely the FBI is going to say to her, thank you for talking to us. And by the way, if ABC or anybody calls, oh yeah, sure, go ahead and talk to whoever you want about this. That's just fantastic. What do you think they would have said?
They tell her not to talk.
Okay, they tell her not to talk. Now why would she turn around and talk?
Because she wants to get paid for an interview.
She can get paid for an interview anytime she wants. She's the niece. She's the one that heard it. She's the real deal. She's got the information that nobody's got. Sooner or later, she can get, you know, she'll get her interview. But in the meantime, the FBI might, and I think it's entirely believable, the FBI would say to her, please don't talk to anybody until we get all of our ducks in a row on this thing, until we look at the evidence. But she goes out and talks to people. Why? I'll tell you why. Because she ain't the real niece. I don't think she's related to anybody. I don't think she heard anything. I don't think this woman has got anything to do with this.
Yeah, well, how come ABC then getting fooled about that?
I don't know. I got to find out. I got to figure this one out. Anybody can call anyone and claim anything. And when you are in this day and age where news, I heard a guy say this the other day, and this is so true. News is no longer news. It's a product. News, you know what that means? It means when you go into the store, there are different kinds of products. And the way you are packaging it, the way you price it, and the way it smells, and the way it looks, and what store it's in, that determines whether you're going to buy it or not. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether it is really the best product. Most of the time, we buy the product because it's got that nice packaging and it's got that nice price. And that's the way we shop for news these days. We are not necessarily hearing the truth. We're just hearing what we want to hear.
Yeah, no, nobody's that stupid, though.
Oh, is that right, bud? Okay.
Well, what are you saying, man? You saying people are that dumb?
No. Far be it from me. If that's what you guys want to believe, you go right ahead. You go right ahead.
So what are you saying? Saying she's not the real one?
No, you guys believe whatever you want to believe. ABC is in a rush to get out and get news, just the same as NBC, just the same as Daily Beast, just the same as Bart Bright, just Bright Bart, or who went Bart. Bart Bright was a gunslinger.
Bat Masterson.
Bright Bart, just the same as our good friend Matt Drudge, all of these guys. And these cats are going to say whatever they got to say, do whatever they got to do, lie to whoever they got to lie to. People don't get it, man. People still think there's something that news has something to do with truth. All right, we'll be back with more and varied things here on the Phil Hendry Show, including the news about Bubba Smith. We also have Lloyd Bonafide coming up in our next break as he talks about the return of Gabrielle Giffords and whether or not she's going to run for re-election on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. We had a spirited discussion, Jason and I, just a moment ago about this woman. Now, forgive me, but Jason informed me of the fact that sources close to this story confirmed to CNN and to ABC that this was indeed the woman who spoke to the FBI. The FBI hasn't said yes or no. CNN has not had this confirmed to them by the woman, and ABC has not had this confirmed to them by the woman, but a source close to the story confirmed it to CNN and ABC. And that could be a member of the FBI. So it could very well be that's the woman. I still don't necessarily believe her story, and it could be at the very end of this whole thing, the FBI may turn around and say to her, now wait just a second. You're saying that you heard a guy say this, and you heard a guy say that, and you heard somebody say something else, and you're 8 years old, and this and that, and this and that. I wonder, because it can't be this garbage that we just heard, I wonder what it is this woman said that made them believe that this was important enough to spend a year on it. Because it wasn't this jackass conversation she claims to have heard. No way. No way. Anybody can say that. And I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel about it. Lloyd Bonafide joins us from Alhambra, California. Mr. Bonafide, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fine.
And, you know, I might as well get your take on this.
What do you think about it?
Hold on, bud. I'll ask the question.
Who was that? Was that Dickman? You know, this young man had me on the phone. I'm going to talk about that.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. What are you doing?
I want to know what he thought about D.B. Cooper.
That's not why I'm talking to him.
He came on and he said, what do you think about this D.B. Cooper? I said I didn't come on the program to talk about D.B. Cooper. And he said, well, I want to know. we're doing a poll. And I said, I'll bet you're doing a poll. And that's when he used the dirty word. And
what did you say to him?
I swear to God, I didn't say anything. I just said, you shouldn't talk like that.
Oh, you're a lying retard. If ever, excuse me for saying that, Phil.
Watch the language, all right?
But he's lying. He said we're doing a poll on D.B. Cooper, and I said, I'll bet you're doing a poll, which probably was unnecessary of me, and so please forgive me.
And that's all right. I understand.
Oh, yeah, it's all right for him. It's not okay for me to tell him to sit on it. And, you know.
Oh, so that's what you told him.
There you go. He told me to sit on it. Now, let me tell you something about who I am and what I'm all about.
And hold on. If you wouldn't mind, Lloyd, did you tell that man that?
Yeah, because he said, yeah, I'll bet you're doing a poll.
He was kind of rude.
Now, hold on for a minute. May I say something?
Go ahead.
I'm a Korean War veteran. I fought for this country in Korea in 19... Oh, God. I'm running out of oxygen. I'm so angry.
Take your time.
I'm a Korean War veteran. When some guy says to me, we're taking a poll, otherwise you don't get to be on the radio, mister, you better have a good reason for saying that.
And did you tell this guy that he couldn't be on the air until he answered your D.B. Cooper question?
All I said was that before I put him on, I want to ask a question. I said, we got a poll. And he goes, yeah, I bet you do. And I go, why don't you sit on it?
That's about how it went.
You don't have to do it. Okay, you don't have to answer any questions, sir.
No, well, I wasn't going to answer any question. No one questions me. No monkey. And I can tell you, Mr. Hendry, I am an 80-year-old man. No monkey ever questions me.
Pick a tense.
I am a devoted husband and father and grandfather, and I'm a retiree.
Yes, sir.
And no monkey tells me we're taking a poll, and why don't you sit on it?
I understand.
And by the way, my daughter lent me her credit card because I won't use my own credit card for this kind of thing, but I bought a membership in your backstage area. And
what are you laughing at, bud?
He bought a membership to your backstage.
Yeah, pretty funny.
You see what I'm talking about?
All right, hold on for a minute. Both of you guys shut up. I don't want to hear one more comment out of either one of you while I talk to this man. Go ahead, sir.
I bought a membership to your backstage pass, and I looked on the camera there, and I saw you laugh when I said sit on it. So, Mr. Hendry, I don't miss much.
I apologize. It was the way you said it, okay?
Well, apology accepted, but I will tell you, I am very emotionally, this has been a very difficult period for me.
I understand, sir. Now, you are here with us tonight, Mr. Bonafide, as a veteran, as a Korean War veteran, and you said that the address in the House of Representatives by Nancy Pelosi and other members of the minority leadership left you emotionally ragged.
Yes, because at that time, and I was watching it with great interest, when she then introduced that I had had the sound turned down because, and forgive me, but I cannot listen to that woman. It is a very difficult thing for me to listen to this Pelosi.
Yes, you're not of that political stripe.
No, sir, I am not. No, sir, I am not. So when she said, and I don't know what she said because the sound was turned down and my wife had it on, she'd had it on this other program. And I said, put it back on the other program. And that's when I saw what appeared to me to be a young Korean woman who suddenly was being... was having her hand shaken, and everyone was patting her on the back and kissing her you-know-what. And I asked myself, who in the name of the Almighty is the Korean? And it turned out it was the Gifford woman. And I said to my wife, Frank Gifford? And she said, no.
You know, it was Gabrielle Giffords.
Yes, that's what my wife said.
And why would you say Frank Gifford?
Well, I there was no connection to reality. I had no, you know, in other words, Gabrielle Giffords, I remember that young lady, but the person I saw was a Korean.
What do you mean a Korean?
The haircut. Oh, boy. You know, the only guy, you guys got some pair on you to tell me that you're taking a poll and I ought to sit on it when you didn't see that.
We got to take a break. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I'm not done yet.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and all over the country on affiliates across this big badass country of ours. And you are certainly welcome to tune in via our affiliates or our evening video cast. It's all there for you at philhendryshow.com. Our podcast is daily. So people say, do you do a podcast, Phil? Yeah, we do a podcast. This show. How about that? That's our podcast. So tomorrow, with a backstage pass, the podcast is automatically downloaded to your pod, and you're ready to rock and roll. We also have our video cast. We also have thousands of hours of archive material. We also have our webcast. We also have two new features, the Bobby Dooley and Ted Bell blogs. Ted's of Beverly Hills, of course, the exclusive steakhouse that is owned and operated by Ted Bell. He is now doing a blog, as is Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. It's all there on our homepage at philhendryshow.com. Now, if you're looking at our video cast tonight, you see there a very classic black and white photograph from Super Bowl III. It is the leaping, gargantuan form of Bubba Smith, number 78, wearing the blue shirt and the white pants, as he is bearing down on the equally classic form there of Joe Namath, number 12 of the New York Jets. It was a game that the Jets won. It was the biggest upset, probably to this day, the biggest upset in professional football history, as the upstart American Football League suddenly found themselves on a par, an equal partner with the National Football League by beating a Colt team that year that was 13-1. 13-1, and the Jets came in and forced five turnovers and shut the Colts down pretty much 16-7. Bubba Smith was a big part of that. Ogden Nash was a poet, an American poet who was famous for these little snippets of poetry. I don't know. If you know Ogden Nash, you probably know what I'm talking about. He actually wrote one about Bubba Smith. He said, when hearing tales of Bubba Smith, you wonder, is he man or myth? Ogden Nash. Bubba Smith was an outsized presence in the National Football League, who went on to a prolific career in television and in the movies. He was found dead on Wednesday in his home in Los Angeles. He was 66 years of age. He was a young man. I mean, by modern standards, that's not necessarily an age that you expect people to just, you know, go out. The cause was not yet known, a spokesman for the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office said, adding there is no indication of anything other than a natural death. He was 6'7". He wasn't quite 300 pounds, so that's a whole lot of muscle. 6'7", maybe 6'8", some sources cite. He was a defensive lineman. He was the number one draft pick for the Baltimore Colts in 1967. He spent 9 seasons in the NFL, playing on 2 Pro Bowl teams in 1970 and 1971. And in 1971, he helped propel the Colts to a 16-13 victory over the Dallas Cowboys in Super Bowl V. He was traded to the Oakland Raiders before the start of the 72 season. He played 2 seasons with them. He wound up his career with the Houston Oilers and then retired in 1976. Now, afterward, Smith made a career of playing rather large men on film and television. He was best known for his role as Moses Hightower, the mild-mannered florist-turned-lawman in the film Police Academy and many of its sequels. He starred in the short-lived TV crime series Blue Thunder and had roles on many other shows, including Good Times, Charlie's Angels, Semi-Tough, Heart to Heart, Married with Children, and Family Matters. He was also seen in a well-known series of Miller Lite commercials, and if you remember these Miller Lite commercials, they featured all kinds of celebrities, all kinds of sports stars. And in fact, we were just looking at one of them. It was the famous Miller Lite camping trip. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was like in the early 80s, they had Bubba Smith, Dick Butkus, Red Auerbach, Mickey Spillane.
That's that writer.
Yeah, Mickey Spillane was a mystery writer. Corky Carroll, the surfer. Boom Boom Joffreon, who was a hockey player. I mean, Tommy Heinsohn. They had everybody in this commercial.
Who was that blonde?
Who's the blonde? The woman?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, who was she?
I don't know. She was just an actress. She's just an actress that was she was Mickey Spillane's girlfriend. That was the whole thing, right? He was a mystery writer, so he had all the girls.
So she wasn't, it wasn't like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was dead 20 years before they made that commercial.
Oh.
Boy, you guys really are clueless, man. You know that?
Well, I mean, you said it had all these famous people.
No, it wasn't Marilyn Monroe. Don't you even know that Marilyn Monroe died in the 60s? It wasn't Marilyn Monroe.
What about Jane Mansfield?
It wasn't Jane Mansfield. It was some blonde. I don't know who it was.
So Jane Mansfield got her head cut off.
Yeah, that's right.
No, she did not get her head cut off.
Yeah, they did. They had that on the TV.
She never. That was bullcrap. You guys are going to make me get pissed. I'm going to start swinging. I'm losing my voice.
You always say you're going to start swinging.
Tonight I'm going to. That was a wig. That photograph of the Jane Mansfield accident scene shows a wig, not that poor girl's head, like so many stupid bastards said it was. That was not Jane Mansfield's head. She was not decapitated in that accident. And that's a terrible thing that rumor lasted for so many years.
Well, you said that's a wig, man. I swear to God, I see like a nose.
Don't you see a nose or anything?
What do you mean you see a nose? You get me that picture. And I'll tell you something else. I'm not going to argue with you about it because the police verified that it was a wig, wasn't her head. And so it goes. Just don't bother me right now with it, okay? I'm trying to finish this story, you jackasses. Who was the blonde?
Well, you said it was somebody's famous.
I didn't say she was. Okay, it was Ann Coulter. You happy?
I knew it.
You owe me $5.
Boy, you go. Man, I'm going to tell you. Anyway, Charles Aaron Smith, known since childhood as Bubba, was born in Beaumont, Texas on February 28, 1945. His father coached the high school football team in which he played. The elder man's techniques, Bubba Smith told the New York Times in 1971, included whacking his son with a board he brought to the field for that purpose. What redeemed these episodes, the son said, was that he didn't holler. Smith played defensive end at Michigan State, where his size and prowess gave rise to the chant, "Kill Bubba, Kill," which emanated frequently from the stands. He was named an All-American in 1965 and 1966. As a senior, Smith took part in what came to be called the Game of the Century, one of several games so designated in the annals of college football. It was played at home against Notre Dame on November the 19th, 1966. Smith sacked and knocked out Notre Dame quarterback Terry Hanratty in the first quarter, and the game ended in a 10-10 tie. Smith was the author, with Hal DeWind, of the book Kill Bubba Kill, published by Simon & Schuster in 1983. And this was an interesting book, because in it, Smith intimated that Super Bowl III, in which his highly favored Colts lost to the upstart New York Jets, was fixed, although he supplied no evidence. Smith's assertion drew fire in the news media. Information on Smith's survivors was not available. He has a brother, Toady. People will remember, played for the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Oilers. He was named to the College Football Hall of Fame in 88. They retired his number in 2006 at Michigan State. And for all of his acclaim, Smith, drawing on the teachings of his father, was philosophical. He taught us to be humble off the field, Smith told the Times. Instead, I got to feel I'm the best inside. But if I tell you I'm the best, then I'm a fool. That's Bubba Smith.
Say that again.
Inside, I've got to feel I'm the best. But if I tell you I'm the best, then I'm a fool.
Who?
Bubba Smith!
I understand.
All right, so there you have it. Bubba Smith. Gone but not forgotten. And I guess Mr. Bonafide's gone, isn't he? You know, that is really a tragedy, man. It really is a tragedy.
Well, I mean, he was giving me a hard time.
That man was scheduled to be an interview on this program. I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to talk to him about his experience seeing Gabrielle Giffords. Instead, you guys give him a bunch of crap about we're taking a poll. Okay.
Well, we want to find out if people thought, you know, because you were saying everybody believed one way, and we didn't know.
Well, that's all fine and good, but do you guys know that there's one other person to take into consideration when you are doing your thing behind the scenes on the phones with a guest?
Yeah.
Me. I got things I need. I got things I want to get done. You talked to that guy and you pissed him off to the point where I never really did get into anything in depth with him other than the fact that when he looked at Gabrielle Giffords, he thought she was Korean. You know.
Well, the way she cut her hair.
Great, but I'm not interviewing you, am I? I wanted to interview him. Now, I want to know what happened.
I told you. I said we're taking a poll, and he said about what? And I said we're going to take a poll about, well, I forget what it was, but it was about the what you were talking about, okay, about D.B. or that man B.B. Cooper or D.B. Cooper?
Right.
And I said, I want to get a poll. And he goes, yeah, I'll bet you do. I go, yeah, well, you'll probably want to sit on it. And he goes, and he said a dirty word.
Wait a minute. You said what?
You got to say it right. What do you mean?
You said we want to get a poll?
Yeah.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? If you want to say I'm going to take a poll, that means you want to ask the guy some questions, right?
Yeah.
You said I want to get a poll.
Yeah, but why did he say, I'll bet you do?
Because he thought you were being a smartass. So you put it the wrong way to the guy. He took it the wrong way. You guys get into a big argument, and guess who loses? I do. I'm the guy that's got to sit here and suck wind because this cat got so flustered, he couldn't get into any in-depth discussion of Gabrielle Giffords. When he finally did, she had a haircut like a Korean, and that's all I got out of him.
Well?
Now, don't give me the well. It wasn't enough. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, our merchandise at the Phil Henry Show store enables you to sit and drink big shots of alcohol out of the Phil Henry Show shot glass and listen to this falderall each and every night. All right, coming up, did the Earth have two moons at one time? That's one theory. Also, Casey Anthony is headed back to Florida. That's another theory. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And that's
Radio,
theory number
four
three.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio, for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, welcome back with us here, where truth is our bitch. Now, get this. I don't know whether this is a bitch or not, but there's a new theory that the Earth at one time didn't have just one moon. We had two. We had two moons. There were two moons out there in the starscape, if you will. It is a theory and a spectacle that might have beguiled poets, lovers, and songwriters if only they'd been around to see it. Earth once had two moons, astronomers now think. But the smaller one smashed into the other in what is now being called the Big Splat. All right, the result, our planet was left with a single bulked up and ever so slightly lopsided moon. Now, the astronomers came up with a scenario to explain why the moon's far side is so much more hilly than the one that is always facing Earth. The theory outlined Wednesday in the journal Nature comes complete with the computer model runs showing how it might have happened and an illustration that looks like the bigger moon getting a pie in the face. Outside experts said the idea makes sense, but they aren't completely sold yet. This all supposedly happened about 4.5 billion years ago, long before there was any life on the planet Earth to gaze up and see the strange sight of dual moons. The moons themselves were very young, formed about 100 million years earlier when a giant planet smashed into the Earth. Boy, all kinds of stuff was going on before there were any human beings.
Well, how come there weren't any human beings around?
Well, it isn't that how come there weren't any human beings around. It's that there couldn't have been any human beings around.
Why?
Because we couldn't have existed in that environment. We were only able to exist. Human beings were only able to evolve. Animal life was only able to begin to evolve when things calmed down. Otherwise, there wasn't going to be any life because there was all this stuff going on, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it right there. Now, give me that, okay? Get a copy. Get your own copy. This all supposedly happened about 4.5 billion years ago, long before there was any life on Earth to gaze up and see the straight side of the... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you said that.
I know. Anyway, the moons themselves were young, formed about 100 million years earlier when a giant planet smashed into Earth. They both orbited Earth and sort of rose in the sky together, the smaller one trailing a few steps behind like a little sister in tow. Whatever. Anyway, the smaller one was a planetary lightweight. The other was 3 times wider and 25 times heavier. Its gravity so strong that the smaller one just couldn't resist, even though it was parked a good bit away. They're destined to collide. There's no way out. This big splat is a low-velocity collision, said a study co-author Eric Asfung, a planetary scientist at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Now, Santa Cruz, of course, is where most of the hippies went to school, and their school mascot is a banana slug, so take that under advisement. Now then.
Well, no kidding, man.
When Asfung, I'm kidding around, but I mean, it's true. There's a lot of weirdos there. Anyway, what Asfung calls a slow crash is relative. It happened at more than 5,000 miles per hour, but that's about as slow as possible when you're talking planetary smash-ups. It's slow enough that the rocks didn't melt, and because the smaller moon was more than 600 miles wide, the crash took a while to finish, even at 5,000 miles per hour. Asfung likened the smaller moon to a rifle bullet and said people would be bored looking at it because it's taking 10 minutes just for the bullet to bury itself in the moon. This is an event, if you were looking at, you'd need a big bag of popcorn. But I don't know what these scientists, man, you know, they're just not jazzed by anything other than the end of the world, maybe. Anyway, the rocks and crust from the smaller moon would have spread over and around a bigger moon. So this has all got to do with, this all has to do with geology. And it has to do with the relative topography of the moon. So if there is a radical difference, and what we learn, what geologists here on Earth learn when we see a radical difference in a topography in the surface of the Earth from one place to the next, they have theorized that this is where there has been a collision. For instance, the Alps. The Alps and the Matterhorn specifically are the meeting point, literally, between the continents of Africa and Europe. At one time...
what are you talking about, man? There's nothing but Swiss people there.
Yeah. There's nothing but Swiss people there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you said Africa...
They're no African there.
So there's nothing but Swiss people, so there couldn't be Africans there. So that's, yeah, you guys are right. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Will you listen to me for a minute? I'm talking about before there were people.
Oh, well, you said it was Africa, and all they got are them people at Yodel.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but there ain't no yodeling.
Be quiet and quit trying to make jokes.
I'm not.
There ain't no yodeling in Africa, huh? Well, maybe there is. You ought to check into that, Robert. See if any of your ancestors yodeled.
Yeah, maybe they yodeled in a canyon. And
will you don't get away from him. I'm talking about before there were people, okay? So the Alps represent the point where Europe and Africa met and smashed together and formed that mountain range we call the Alps. Same thing with the Himalayas. The Himalayas are the result of literally the subcontinent of India smashing into Asia, before there were humans. So when you see that radical change in the way the Earth looks, the topography of the Earth, geologists theorize there was an event, there was a collision of some kind between one type of landmass and another type of landmass. There can't be any people in Africa. There's no Swiss in Africa. What is it that you guys are trying to say? Why don't you just listen to what I'm talking about, okay?
You said it was Africa, and then you said it was Switzerland.
Well, maybe there's some guys in Africa that wear little hats with feathers in them, man. Look into it. Anyway, co-author Martin Jutzi of the University of Bern in Switzerland said the study was an attempt to explain the odd crust and mountainous terrain of the moon's far side. There you go. The other story we wanted to tell you about, Casey Anthony can continue her undercover life for now after a judge ruled Wednesday she does not have to immediately return to Florida to start serving her probation for check fraud. A hearing on her probation was set for Friday. Judge Belvin Perry said Anthony won't have to show up for that either. A different judge ordered Anthony to report to Florida on Thursday for her probation, but the judge later recused himself and turned the case over to Perry, who presided over Anthony's murder trial. Anthony's been out of the public. By the way, did you see that story about Belvin Perry had an affair?
Yeah, I saw that, man. That woman, man, they must have paid her a lot of money.
That they had this story in the National Enquirer that Judge Belvin Perry, one of our heroes, he was a bad boy.
He had an affair with a white lady, too. So? So, I'm just saying.
He had an affair with a lady. about 7 years while he was married. Boy, get a load of you, Judge Perry, man, getting around, huh?
Yeah, that woman, he must have dumped her like a bad habit. She had nothing good to say.
She did. She ripped into him. She ripped into him good. She was like, question his morality. I always find that kind of interesting. I mean, I'm not saying the judge did the right thing there. There's no question that the guy was cheating on his wife. But why are you squeaky clean, honey? What'd you do? I mean, you know, if he hadn't dumped your ass, you probably would be, for all I know, you'd probably be still sitting in your chalet there in Switzerland trying to figure out what happened to all the Africans.
That ain't funny, man.
Oh, take it easy. That's it, folks. We'll see you again tonight here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, our show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Dan Northcraft. And our associate producers, Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is also available online at philhendryshow.com. Check out our videocasts and also, of course, our videocast archive, a 5-day videocast archive on our homepage. Check out our newsfeed, check out our archives, and then you can check out a happy person. I mean, check out the ultimate checkout. Not
like a supermarket.
Yeah, not like a supermarket checkout. All right, kids, until then, this is Phil Hendry. See you tonight. Same time, same station, same Bud, same Robert, same Alps.
Phil Hendry.